Praise God. Amen. I'm so excited for you today. I'm on my way to heaven. I pray you are. Are you on your way to heaven? Amen. Amen. Well, I've got a message today. My goodness gracious alive. You're going to love it. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to talk to us for the next couple of 3 or 4 hours here. If you're visitors, that'll get your attention for sure. Some of you just leaned over to the person that you was with saying, what'd he just say? No, for the next few minutes. Today is family day, by the way. And if you are a visitor here, if you have children, we do have Hunter that's back going up in here. So we have right behind this wall, if you have a child that's a little antsy and you say, well, they're just going to make too much noise. Not really going to bother me, I promise. But if you want to, there is a big screen television right behind this wall. And there's some tables in there, a little room for your child to burn off a little energy. Am I being okay? I'm okay. Y'all got that? Amen. So, hallelujah. We do this on Family Day. We do so it gives our teachers a break because we have the same teachers pretty much. We're just rotating in and out. And thank God for our teachers. Amen. Thank God. Give them a hand because, my goodness, they do this all the time. And we're so thankful for our teachers that help in our children's ministry. Man, just wonderful. Well, today I want to talk to us about, I titled my message, The Guarantee. The guarantee. And I'm taking my text from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the whole chapter. Woo! Somebody said the whole chapter, the whole thing. Yeah, we're going to try to get through the whole thing today. I'm not going to condense it. Amen. But we may or may not get through it. But I want to talk to you about two or three guarantees that the Word of God gives us as believers. There's guarantees. Now, guarantee, the Webster's Dictionary of guarantee means an assurance for the fulfillment of a condition. So, how many of you ever went to a place and they ask you, do you want to buy the warranty? Warranty is basically a guarantee, just summed up in a different word. An example is like a guarantee is if you pay money for something, it's guaranteed to work, at least for a little while. I mean, think about it. Most people don't have very much confidence in their products because they give you just a 30-day warranty. I'm thinking, well, I don't know if I want to buy it or not. But how many of you go through the store, you go to Lowe's, or you go to David's favorite store, Harbor Freight, you go over there, and if you buy anything that has any kind of value, they'll say, do you want the warranty with it? It's only X amount of dollars. How many of you ever heard that? Come on, you've heard that. I went in the other day to Harbor Freight and bought me a bench, a roll-around bench, because the older I get, the fatter I get, come on. And it's not so much that I have a problem getting down, it's just getting up. So I think, well, while I'm down there, I'll just sit. So I bought this little roll-around thing, and it was on sale because I'm one of them ITC members. Come on, somebody. I'm going to get you signed up for that, David. ITC member at Harbor Freight. Oh, glory to God, he has seen the light. Can I see your card? And this thing has wheels on it, four wheels and a little bench, and the thing sits out about like this right here. Y'all didn't know I could get down like that, did you? Y'all was more worried about me getting up, but I can get up. But I bought this bench, and it was on sale. And when I rolled up, that's the only thing of much value that I had. And she said, do you want the warranty on this? I said, on what? Because I'm looking, you know, I bought that, and I bought a little old bitty tool that, you know, just nothing. And I'm thinking, for what? She said, on the bench, on the roll-around seat. I said, well, surely, the little $6.99 for the warranty, 2-year warranty. I didn't pay but $24.99 for the seat. And I told her, I said, well, is it that bad that you got to give me a warranty on a $24.99? Is it going to fall apart when I get on? She said, I don't know. I said, well, I'm not going to buy you a warranty. I'll just end up on the floor and figure it out later. Amen. But everywhere you go to Lowe's, it doesn't matter. If you buy anything of value, they want to sell you a warranty, a guarantee that if something goes wrong with that thing, you can bring it back. We're going to give you a new one. Amen. You know, it seems like we get guarantees on stuff that don't matter. A guarantee. The Bible gives us a guarantee, a warranty, if you will,
on what he's selling us with, if you will. Come on, now watch this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, the first guarantee that we have is a guarantee that Christians, if you're blood-bought, born-again Christian, if you're a Christian, this doesn't apply to you. If you're not a Christian in the house, if you don't know Jesus, this doesn't apply to you. This guarantee is not for you. But if you are a Christian, this guarantee is for you. This is a guarantee that you will be with Christ after you die. Well, I mean, that's a great thing because nobody really knows what's going to happen, I mean, after we die. We know, well, we're going to heaven, but what's really going to happen? There's a lot of unexplained things, and I can tell you what's going to happen. You really don't believe it because I hadn't been there. I really don't have first account of it, and you don't know anybody that's been there and come back. So it's kind of a mystical thing, but yet the Bible gives us a guarantee that if you're a Christian, you'll be with Christ after you die. Now, to me, that's comforting. To me, I'm okay with that kind of guarantee. Guess what? And you don't have to pay for it. When you get to heaven, they're going to say, did you buy the extended warranty on your body? Didn't know it was available. Oh, you must have went through the self-checkout. You want to watch going through those self-checkouts, you might miss some good things, amen? But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 says this. Paul is speaking here. Now, he's talking to the church at Corinth. This is his second letter to the church of Corinth. And he's trying to get these people to understand that there's more than just life and then it stops. That there's something after life that you need to know. And if you follow Christ, there's a guarantee that what Paul, we're fixing to read about Paul and what he says, there's a guarantee of where you're going to be. I think that's very nice. Thank you, Lord. Amen. It says in 2 Corinthians 5, 1 says, for we know that of our earthly house, this tent, in other words, he's talking about your body. He's not talking about your camping tent. Come on, somebody. He's not talking about your house down here on the road. He's talking about this body, okay? He says, for we know. Now, he starts out pretty firm. For we know. It's not a guess. It's not like the lady trying to sell me that warranty on my bench. I know that thing's going to last. He says, watch this. He says, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Boy, there's a whole lot summed up right there in that verse. That this isn't it, number one. And that this house, this temple, look, there's something greater in Christ. If you live in Christ, there's something greater for you that's built not with human hands. Now, you can go to the gym all day long and you can look as buff as I am. Can I get a witness? Since my wife's not in here, I'm gonna need a witness. You can go and you can, man, you can do all kind of stuff to this body. You can eat right, and you can go to the gym and exercise, and you can do one-arm push-ups, and you can do one-arm pull-ups. You can do all that, be able, you have the ability to do all of that stuff, but one day you're gonna die. Amen? Amen. You're going to die. And is that great? Oh, absolutely. You need to exercise. You hear what I said? You need to exercise. And you need to eat right. Come on, somebody. You need to do all those things if you want to live a long time. Lord already knows when I'm going to die. I'm going to live life. Amen. I think you ought to eat healthy, though. I really do. But you're going to die. There's nothing you can do to prolong, or let me say, to keep from dying. You can do a few things, I think, Doc, can't to prolong. I mean, you know, you can not step out in front of a vehicle, run down the highway out here, and you'll prolong your life. There's a few things you can do. But as a rule, I only know of about three people that hadn't died. Everybody else, it's 100%. You're going to die. And Paul is saying, look, you're going to die. This is temporary. This is a tent. He uses this house, this tent, this temporary thing is only for a season. But after that, we're going to go to a place. This body is going to take on something that you've never dreamed of. This body is going to take on a heavenly body. We're going to learn in a minute. And it's not made of hands from the earthen vessel. And he's starting to set us up for this guarantee that if you're a Christian, you can live forever with Christ. It says in verse 2, for we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. Now, if you're wondering what you're going to look like when you get to heaven, you're going to have a heavenly body. Come on, somebody. Woo! I've already put mine in. I wish there was a heavenly body, a Sears and Roebuck catalog, so we pick out what we're going to look like when we get to heaven. Come on. I'm going to put my order in early. I'm going to pre-order what I want to look like. Amen. Then none of you'd recognize me, so I wouldn't have no friends when I got there. But there's this heavenly body that we're going to take on. It says, now I want to explain a couple of words to you that's very important to this message. And remember, we're talking about a guarantee that after you die, if you're a Christian, after death, you'll be with Christ forever. Now, that's a good guarantee, but there's a couple of words. This word, it says in verse 2, for in this, in what? In this hope, in this knowing that when we die, we're going to be with Christ, that there's something else, there's a heavenly body. He says, in knowing that, we groan earnestly. Now, those two words are very important. The word groan in the Greek means histemeia. It's said histemeia. And it says to make, it means to make firm, fix, or establish. This word groan, it means to make firm. In other words, you're so believing that when you die, that in you, it's already fixed. It's established. It's not going anywhere. I already believe that. Amen. I mean, it's got to be firm, planted in your mind. I watched the Alabama and Auburn game yesterday. Glory to God. Mike didn't text me back. I think, and Mike's not here today. Mike had a heart attack yesterday after watching the game. It was really Stacy. He was giving CPR to Stacy is what was happening. I texted him and said, are you still breathing? He still hadn't responded. You know what happened? He died right there on the spot. Did any of y'all watch the game by chance? You see any highlights? Well, let me tell you, the game was crazy. It always is. It's always crazy. Never, let me tell you, if you're betting, and you shouldn't bet, but if you bet, please don't bet on rival games because you don't know how they're going to go, okay? Amen? Something crazy is going to happen. But what I picked up out of watching the whole game, they interviewed the quarterback right at the end of the game for Alabama. And she asked, you know, some of those reporters, bless their hearts, they asked some of the dumbest questions. Come on now, I'm serious. You could, the coach will come up and he's down 30 to nothing. And they'll say, coach, what are you going to do to help yourself in the second quarter? I want to respond for him. Anything's better than what we're doing now. I don't know. We had the best team out there and we're losing. I don't know. What do you think? You know, wouldn't that be a great answer from a coach? I don't know what we're going to do. What do you think we ought to do? So they interviewed this football player, the quarterback. Don't ask me his name, Jalen something, because everybody, have you ever noticed too, every quarterback goes to Alabama, first name's Jalen. Jalen, I don't know, I guess it's common down there. So they're interviewing Jalen, and they asked him, said, what was going through your mind? The last play, look, they were fourth in like half the field. Fourth and 41, somebody else watched the game, come on somebody. Fourth and 41, and the game, they got like 32 seconds on the clock. They're down by 4, I believe it was. Am I correct, Stacy? 4. Stacy got all this down. They were down by 4. She's an Alabama fan, by the way. And they were down by 4. And this guy gets the ball, you know, they center it to him and everything. And he's just back there like, he's just dancing around like, you know, I'm just waiting. And everybody goes to the end zone. I mean, there's everybody except just a couple. They're in the end zone. And he takes that ball, waits just so patiently, and sees a guy that he said was open. To me, he covered. I mean, that fellow was all over like white on rice. Do you hear me? And I mean, he let that ball go. It had to be thrown perfectly in the corner, only a foot or two within the bounds. I mean, it had to be perfect. And he threw that ball, and it was perfectly thrown and caught in the end zone. The guy fell in and touchdown. And so after the game, they said, what was going through your mind when the last play, when they centered the ball and you were watching, what was going through your mind? He said this word and it stuck out to him. He said, to finish.
I thought, wow, what an awesome man. To finish. He wasn't worried about, oh, I hope I don't throw it too far. Oh, I hope I throw it far enough. Oh, that guy's too close. What are we going to do? Can we do a timeout? None of that mattered. His thing, to finish. Just to finish. Now, if we took that idea, when times get tough, I mean, it's against the wall here. I mean, it's kind of over for him. If he don't make this play, it's done. We're finished, kaputs. And his number one concern was, as a quarterback, I need to finish. I need to follow the training. I need to go through the process of what my coaches taught me, my quarterback, on how to stand when I throw the ball. I need to keep my wits about me and not get flustered and say, oh, what are we going to do? And spoil the play. I need to finish. You know, as a Christian, if you will simply finish what God has planted in your heart, if you'll go by the book, if you'll take the book and analyze it and do what the coach Jesus says and finish this thing, you will be guaranteed a heavenly home forever with him. Can I get an amen, somebody? So there's guarantees throughout this Bible. Now I want to give you another word, the word earnestly. Earnestly. I'll try to say this one. Epipatheo. It came out just the way I wanted it to. I don't know if it's right, but, you know, it is right. I listen to how they tell me to say it. It means to, this is the word earnestly. So we got groan means to firm, affix, set your mind, establish it, finish. But this other word is interesting as well. It says it means to long for. To have a great desire for. Here's another, to lust. It also means harbor a forbidden desire. Stay with me, some of you mind, stay with me. It means that you should long and desire for this heavenly home that if you were to talk about it between opposite sex, it would be forbidden to say. I mean, it should be that burning desire within you to want to make it to heaven. I'm afraid that the church in America does not have that particular definition of earnestly. We want to go, but we don't want to go that bad. We want to be in heaven forever, but we want to do what we want to do now. So that desire sometimes grows dim. There's not a person in this building, including me at the front of the line or paddling the boat, can say, well, my fire's never grown dim. Well, you're a liar. Come to the altar. We'll pray for you. Amen. There's times, my grandfather said this, son, there's ebbs and tides about everything. There's ebbs and tides in your finances. There's ebbs and tides in your emotions. There's ebbs and tides in your relationships. There's ebbs and tides in your relationship with Christ. There's sometimes you ever felt really, really close to God. And then sometimes you wonder, where is he? Well, just so you know, I want to help you out. He didn't move. Where he is where you left him the last time. Come on, he's right there. He don't move, okay? He's established firm. He's right here, all right? And so if we had a desire, and we didn't have the ebbs and tides in our relationship. What brings us close to God and keeps us sometimes what we feel like further away from God? What is it? What causes that? It's our decisions most of the time. Now, mind you, it's not God. He has a guarantee. He's put his name on the line that if you do what I say, you'll be with me in heaven. Forever. That's a pretty good guarantee. So you don't have to worry about the guarantee. So what do we have to worry about? What Marty does. My ebbs and tides in relationship with Christ has nothing to do with Christ moving on me or hiding or playing hide and seek with me. It has everything to do with my relationship and how I react and respond to him. Praise the Lord. Verse 3, if indeed, now we're still talking about the guarantee that Christians will be with Christ after death.
Verse 3, if indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. In other words, if you're clothed with his presence, with the salvation, you're not going to be found naked and destitute. You're not going to be cast out. If you're in Christ, it says it, if indeed, having been clothed. In other words, he's probably saying it this way. Can I give it to you in the way I read the Bible? Make sure you're saved and not just saying you're saved. Because a lot of people saying they're saved and they ain't really saved. Pastor, you judge it. No, I'm not judging. I'm just saying that you can see people's fruit. The Bible says it this way in Galatians chapter 6. God is not mocked. Do not be deceived. Whatsoever a man soweth, so shall he reap. If you sow Christ in your life and you live for him, you have a desire, a strong desire, that desire that you cannot explain to live for Christ, I promise you, you're going to live with Christ when you die. What a guarantee, amen? But you got to be saved. If you're not someone, I don't know if I'm saved or not. Well, then I'm just about sure you're not saved. You're going to, I know when I got saved. It was something different, come on. Things began to be different in my life. I began to drop some things off that I didn't need in my life, and I began to drop some friends off that I didn't need in my life, and I began to cut some television programs off that I didn't need in my life, come on, somebody. And I began to cut some radio stations off that I didn't need in my life. He's given us a guarantee. All you got to do is live by the book. Verse 4. For we who are in this tent, we groan. There's that word again. We groan being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed. Not because you want to be dead. He's using this unclothed in a little different fashion. Not because you want to die, but further clothed that mortality may be swallowed up by this life. In other words, when you die, you just don't stop. I mean, everything's just, your spirit, man, is going to take on a heavenly body when you die. Now, we won't see you anymore here unless we look at a picture or a video. We won't see your physical body here. It's going to die. But that spirit, man, is going to take on a new body. And when that new body is what's going to be in heaven with Jesus forever. Okay? He says, so we're not designed to die right now, but if we die, we want to be further clothed with that immortality. In other words, that we'll never die again. That's good news. That's a guarantee. It says that we may be, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Verse 5, now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God. Well, how did he prepare us? Well, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, from heaven to die on a cross, and he shed his blood for the remission of sins. So when you come to Christ and you confess Christ from your heart and mean it, not just an intellectual thing, say, I don't want to go to hell, but from your heart, and you say, I want you to come into my life. I want you to forgive me of my sins. I want to serve you, and I want to make you Lord and Master. When you do that and you're truthful about that, that's how God has prepared a way for you and I. In other words, that's the backing for his guarantee that you will spend eternity with him in heaven. Yep. His son, Jesus. That's a guarantee. Glory to God. Man, whoo, that's good stuff right there. A guarantee. He sent Jesus, his son. He says, and it goes on in verse 5, who has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Remember in John chapter 16, around verse 6, 7, and 8, it says that Jesus said, if I go away to prepare a place for you, I'm going to send the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. If you read it, it's a capital S. I'm going to send the Spirit back to you as a guarantee. In other words, I sent a guarantee so you'd have a way. I'm preparing the way through Jesus Christ. But I'm going to guarantee, I'm going to give you a double guarantee. Not that the first one's ever going to fail, Woody. It ain't going to fail. Tell yourself, it ain't going to fail. But God wanted you to know he's such a guarantor that he's going to send you a double guarantee that if you live for him, and you abide by the Spirit that's going to teach you all things, that one day you'll be with him in heaven. Come on, somebody. Woo! That makes me excited. Won't be any more bills. Glory to God. I won't be sick anymore. My Lord Jesus, the bank's not going to call me. You know, the bank calls me. I farm, you know, and for the bank, obviously. And the bank will call you and say, how's it going? Really what they want to know is, are you going to make it? One thing I know about my bank, they're pulling for me. Amen. You know why? Because they're my guarantor when I write a check to pay for stuff. They're guarantee that other end that they're going to get a payment. That bank's pulling for me. I'm telling you, they jump up and down every morning. I wake up. When I tell them I increase my life insurance, a smile comes off on every face in the bank. They're my guarantee. They're my guarantor that that's going to be okay. You know what? The Holy Spirit is that guarantor that if you live for Him, He's going to make sure that you get through every trial and every tribulation, every stronghold that comes against you. He says, I'm a guarantee. I'll guarantor that person to make it to heaven. Isn't that awesome? I mean, that is exciting to me. Come on, somebody, give Him praise. He did it for you too. Amen? You act like I'm preaching to me. Well, I am. Preaching to you too. Verse 6 says, so we are always confident. Oh, I like that word. Knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. So we're here, you're home, you're right now. Everybody in this room is in your body. I guarantee that. That little joke right there, I guarantee you. Okay. So you're home in your body right now. And as long as you're here, Paul says that you're absent from the Lord. In other words, you're not in His presence in the sense of physically being there, okay? You're not separated from God. God's a spirit, so that's another message, okay? But you're separated from God in the physical sense. You're not in heaven, right? If you're here and you're a Christian, you're not in heaven. Can I get a witness? Amen. Can you guarantee that? No, me and you gonna have to teach a class on how they know if they're living or not. I mean, I guarantee it for you. If you're here, you're not with Him. But you're confident. Paul says, so we're always confident, knowing that while we are here, we're absent from the body. So you gotta understand that first. While I'm here, I'm in love with Christ, I'm in Christ, but I'm absent from the body. Amen? Bible goes on to say this, right after I wipe my nose. Got so hot up here and got to preaching. Glory to God. It says, verse 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, we all know that verse, especially people who are in the faith movement, and I believe in faith movement. But in context, if you read this whole thing in context, you know, it's really talking about that I got faith that Christ is a guarantor or guarantee that I'll spend eternity with Him in heaven. I haven't said, well, why does it say I walk by faith and not by sight? This is why. You ready? It's simply because you hadn't been there yet. You hadn't seen it. You hadn't seen heaven. Anybody ever seen heaven? It's not that big bright star out there somewhere. Nobody's ever seen heaven. So I can't follow it because I've seen it, right? I can't follow it because I've heard somebody that's been there and come back. I can't follow that, even though some of these books say that they have. Maybe they have. I don't know. I'm not telling you not to read them. I'm just saying I don't know of anybody. So I can't see it. I'm not talking to anybody that's been there and come back. So by faith on what this word says, because the guarantor says, this is what's going to happen, and I'm going to guarantee it with the Holy Spirit, and if you put your trust in me, then I guarantee that if you walk by faith, believe what I say is true, you will spend eternity with Jesus Christ in heaven. But you got to do it by faith. Amen. I'm preaching better than your amen in this morning. Whew. Verse 8, we are confident. Yes, I like it. Y'all need to read the Bible. Like, put yourself in there like a cartoon character. Yes,
well pleased rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. Woo! Let me finish this up right here on verse 9. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, we will be pleasing to Him. There's a guarantee that if you live for Christ, you put your trust in Christ, you will spend eternity with Him in heaven. That makes me excited. Thank God for the guarantee. He's not, and some of you might think that we're going to take up an offering for this extended warranty. If I thought it'd help you, I'd do it. But it ain't going to help you. Number two, so we got that first guarantee that if you live for Christ, if you are a Christian, you'll spend eternity with Him in heaven. You know, I spent 30 minutes on number one. I got three of these. This one'll be shorter. Number two, there's a guarantee that all will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Boy, he puts a whole lot in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 9 says, therefore, if we make it our aim, what is our aim? Well, we find that in verse 8. I just read it to you, but let's go back and review just a second. It says, therefore, if we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. So what is our aim here? Verse 8, that we have confidence that we well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So our aim is, if we leave this body, our aim is to be present with the Lord. I taught you a few verses ago how to do that. Put your trust in Christ Jesus. Come on. Now, all of these are guarantees. You get to do number two without getting to number one. You're going to get a guarantee of that. You're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, guaranteed. Isn't that crazy? You're going to get guaranteed number one, but you're not guaranteed number one. You're just guaranteed number two. Some of y'all are thinking, I'm talking about going to the bathroom, aren't you? I just saw that in some of your faces. Some of your older people had that just run right through your mind. Come on, somebody. God's okay. Do we need to take an intermission so some of y'all can go to the restroom? Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. Verse 10, this is a guarantee that you're going to stand in judgment in front of Christ. For we must all, how many people?
All.
Are you sure it says all, or is it just everybody outside of LVA Church?
All.
No, it's everybody. All means all, and that's all means. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. It's not like an option to buy the guarantee. Oh, I don't want it. No, you're going, it's a guarantee that you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ when you die. Guaranteed. And the verse goes on to say this, that one may receive the things done in the body. Remember this tent, this body, this thing you live in right now? You're gonna be accounted. You're going to receive the things. It says judgment will be done. Let me just read it over. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Whatever you've done, be it good or be it bad, you're going to have to give an account. You know those things you do when you think nobody's looking at your home when the lights is out and you're all by yourself? God doesn't sleep, by the way. He doesn't miss a thing. You know those texts that you send out and then you delete and you think nobody knew it? Teenagers, you know this thing called sexting? Y'all didn't know it. Y'all thought I was too old to even know that word. Well, I know a lot of things like that. You don't think I know. I hadn't been too long, been a youth pastor. Come on, somebody. And I'm refreshing myself now because I have grandchildren. Come on, somebody. That sexting that you sent out, and you delete it. You know, you really didn't delete it. You just deleted it from your device. Do you know it's always out there? Have you heard the latest craze that's in high schools and junior highs now? Have you heard it? This artificial intelligence. They're taking just normal, great pictures of people, and with artificial intelligence, making that person nude and sending that around school campuses and all over the place for blackmail money. That's happening today in your schools. Or it don't have to be in school. Just anywhere. This artificial intelligence, I'm telling you, get ready. You better be blood-bought born again. Your kids better be blood-bought born again. Your grandkids better be blood-bought born again. And you better be teaching them the Word of God, not just at church, but you better be teaching them at home, at home, at home, at home. Because listen to me, I love you, but you are an absolute fool if you think we can give your kids enough Jesus the times that you do bring them to church, come on, opposed to what the world's hammering at them. Because the number one advice, the number one device for our small, small children is that, now you sit here and you watch this and you be good, and we walk out of the room and we don't know what comes on nothing. Oh, I know, I saw it, I done watched this video. Well, what about when that video stops playing? Because they'll pop up something else and they don't care that you're in a Christian home. Come on, somebody. Yep, that's right. Pastor, you're doing a great job. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. We're going to give an account for good or bad. Verse 11. Knowing, watch this. Knowing. Now, that's interesting that he would start the next passage. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord. What? See, here's where a lot of American churches and American pastors go wrong. They preach the love of Christ, the mercy of Christ, the loving kindness, the tender mercies, the long suffering, and he is all of those things guaranteed. But we fail to teach the terror of the Lord. In other words, the fear of the Lord. Because as much as God loves you, there will be that same level of terror from God when he returns if you're not blood-bought, born-again child of the King. Amen. He has equal amounts of love and hatred. Come on, God hates sin. And he has that same level of hatred for sin as he does love for people. But it's your choice. Don't fall into the ideology that you don't have choice. That's a bunch of baloney. You do have choice. It's all through the Bible. He died for all of us. If he didn't die for all of us, we had choice. He wouldn't put all. He said, I just died for some of you. But the Bible says all. I died for all of you. That includes me and you. Come on, somebody. Amen. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. If you've read the book, especially the end of the book, you know that there is the terror of the Lord that's coming. And Paul says, because we know this terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well known to God. And I also trust we are well known in your conscience. In other words, he's saying, we're living what we're preaching. It's what Paul's saying. I'm living out. Me and my disciples, we're living out what we say. We're known to God. We know the terror. And we're trying to persuade you that there's a guarantee that you need to get in on. That's what Paul is trying to say. Because there's a judgment coming. He just said it. There's going to be a judgment seat and you're going to stand before it. And I'm trying to persuade you that you're going to be there. Amen? That's the guarantee. So number one guarantee is that we as Christians, if we put our faith and trust in Christ, we'll be with him forever in heaven. And number two, that's just guarantee you're going to stand before God in judgment. Everything you've ever done. Everything. I pray for crop failures a lot of days. Whatsoever man soweth, so shall he reap. Lord, please don't let that come to pass. Come on, somebody. I pray a busted crop. It's just your preacher. You don't have to do that. I'm just saying for me.
The lastly, the guarantee. I'm going to have time. The guarantee. This is so cool. The guarantee that anyone can be reconciled to God. Amen. Woo! Anyone. The drunkard. The harlot. The preacher. The deacons. The people on the pews. We can be reconciled to God. Those that, guess you come to church all of your life and sometimes we kind of get mad. Well, God, you mean you're gonna allow them into heaven and they were on their deathbed and they never lived for you, and if they said a prayer and it was in their heart right, you'd let them in? Uh-huh. That's hard for us Christians to swallow. I don't know if I like that. I'm going to give you a little parable in the Bible, and you can go read it on your own. You know the little parable in the Bible where the employer is looking for people to work, and he gives one a penny or at the first of the day, and right at the end of the day, one comes up and gives him the same amount, and somebody complains at the end. Well, you gave him I worked all day, and he just worked 1 hour, and you gave him the same amount of money. You know what? It's cool. You know what the Lord said? Well, didn't you agree to that? So if you got a problem with that, take that up with God, okay? Now, I mean, they got to be sincere and serious. I mean, that's between him and God. But I'm just saying, don't get bent out of shape out of it, because there's going to be a lot of people happen like that. There's a lot of people happen today just like that. And you think they were heathen all their life and da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do we need a mirror at your house? Who guarantee that anyone can be reconciled to God? Number three, and I'll close in an hour. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. In other words, he's saying, we're not boasting in ourselves. You see how we live. We're living this thing out. Paul is being beaten, shipwrecked. He's hungry, been in prison, all these things. He said, we're not just telling you stuff so you can look at our appearance. We're saying we got the real deal. This is real. And we're letting you see our lives so you can tell people. Now look, I know of some folks that got the real thing. You know people when they really got saved? I mean, they got the real thing. I'm talking about they got saved all the way down to their shoes. Do you hear me? Everything got saved. Come on. Amen. I heard a missionary one time, he said, and when he got saved, he said, when I got saved, he said, I got saved, my wife got saved, my kids got saved, my dogs got saved, my horses got saved. He said, everything I got saved. I think, well, he got saved. Come on. We need some of that experience today in the modern church. When we get saved, everything about us gets saved is what he was saying. Come on. It says in verse 13, for we are beside ourselves. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. I read a translation that says, if we crazy, we crazy for God. But if we of sound mind, it's so we can help you be crazy for God. I love that. That's awesome. Amen. We ought to be that way. We're so passionate about stuff. We're passionate about helping our brothers. We ought to be crazy about God. So crazy that people say, man, what is up with you? What are you smoking? Because whatever it is, that's what I want. We ain't got enough in the church house right now for people to want what we got. Come on, somebody. We ought to be so full of Jesus that it just comes out of us. We can't help it. We're crazy about it. If you're a grandparent, you're just crazy about grandkids. It just comes out of you. Somebody start talking about their grandkids, you get out your book. Look what I got. Come on, somebody. Here's what happens a lot of times. We start talking about Jesus in circles. Why don't you talk to him about Jesus? Light and dark don't mix. I can't stand around that right there. You know, Bible says we ain't mixing. Oh, you poor soul. Jesus should come out of you.
Verse 14, for the love of Christ compels us. What does? The love of Christ. Not an attaboy. Oh, you did so good. Oh, you packed how many shoe boxes? Oh, you're so good. You gave how much? Ooh, glory to God. Jesus, he got a special place for you. Mm-hmm. You're doing it for the wrong reason. He got one. But it ain't in heavenly places, come on. It says that the love of Christ, in verse 14, compels us. It should be your driving force, that so much Jesus, and you're so in love with Jesus that you believe the guarantee that's been given to you, that you have so much in you that you want to express that guarantee to others. Amen. That's what this Christian thing is about. It's not your place where you get to sit in church. It's not your pew. It's not your seat. Come on. It's not the pastors. It's Jesus. And if Jesus wants to send somebody and take your place, get up and move. Come on, somebody. We don't have that problem here, but I know churches like that. They'll put a plaque on the end of the pew right now in a heartbeat and say, I don't care if they ain't been there in 7 years. You ain't sitting on that pew. They can come at me and say, you're going to have to move there. That Sister Know-It-All's pew right there for her family. But where are they at? Well, they ain't been here in a while, but I'm just saying, you know, we can't sit there. Well, it ain't a holy and sacred piece of instrument, a piece of furniture. Amen. Come on, somebody. I don't even know where that came from. That wasn't even part of my message. Verse 14, for the love of Christ compels us because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all. How many?
All.
Are you sure that's what the scripture says? He died for all people. He says he died for all. he died for them. Where am I at? Yeah, 14, right? Then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for who? But for who? Him who died for them and rose again. Here's that seal on the deal, the guarantee of a guarantee. Amen. That you shouldn't live for yourself. If you're blood-bought, born again, it ain't about you anymore. Amen. Woo! Boy, that's good. You know, that's one of the hardest things for people to get over. Well, I got saved. There's a party going on in heaven. Y'all going to throw me one? No, we're fixing to put your hind end to work. Bible says he's faithful. Guess what? Expect to be more faithful. Guess what? We're going to put you to work. Building the kingdom.
Amen.
Amen. Give you a spiritual hammer and a saw. Verse 16, therefore, from now on, when you get saved, now we regard no one according to the flesh. You got saved. Forget your flesh. Forget your feeling good. Forget your attaboys. Forget, well, nobody patted me on the back. Nobody told me how good I was. Well, you just need to get married. Yeah. Come on. That's what happens in marriage. My wife don't always go around telling me, oh, you done so good today. You worked all day long. I don't go in and tell my wife every day, honey, the house looks super good. Do I do that occasionally? Do I do it every day? Absolutely not. Does she do that to me? No. She doesn't come and say, honey, I just appreciate you working so hard for the family. Does she tell me that? Yeah. Does she do it every day? Absolutely not. I'm not doing it for that. I'm doing it so we can have some things, so we can eat and have a roof over our head, and so we can bless people, and so we can bring tithe to the storehouse of the Lord, so we can build the kingdom, so more people can go to heaven. That's the purpose, and don't ever forget it. It's not about you. When you get saved, it's no longer about you. It's about him.
Amen.
Yep. Amen. Give the Lord praise. That was a great amen moment, a clap moment or something. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, boy, I could preach a month right here. He is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Why? Because it's not about your flesh anymore. He says, now, from now on, when you get saved, verse 14, from now on, it's not about your flesh. From now on, yes, it's brand new you. It's a brand new you. Glory to God. All those old things, they're passed away. I don't do old things. Why? Because they were of the flesh. Behold, all things have become new. They're becoming new. You're not going to be perfect when you get saved. Don't misunderstand that for a second. Oh, I wish you could. Oh, I wish sometimes I could forget all the memories of the bad things I've done. When you get saved, come in, wipe it out. The problem is, if you're going to wipe your memory away, you're going to wipe away a lot of things. You're not going to know who you get married to. You're going to be sitting, you're going to go back and sit with the wrong person. Right? He's not wiping away your memory. He's starting to create something brand new. He has created something brand new in you. And as you live by this word, there is a guarantee that you can be reconciled back to God. In other words, be brought from one state to another back to where you're supposed to be, because you know we weren't supposed to be sinners. Adam and Eve didn't mess it up, really. That's contrary to some of your beliefs. You know, Adam and Eve didn't bring sin into the world. You understand that, right? Satan, when he fell from heaven, brought sin into the world. Adam and Eve just participated. You didn't know that, did you? Sin wasn't first in the earth. Sin was first in heaven, in the heart of Lucifer. And he fell. Took a third of the angels, roughly, with him as demons. And Adam and Eve stepped into that fleshly desire because it was about them. And God said, it was never about you. Who told you it was about you? It was never to be about you. It was always about me. It was always about our relationship. Who told you it was about you? Oh, that old liar, Satan. That old liar. He's telling people in the church house today, it's all about you. You ought to leave that church because they didn't recognize you. They didn't pat you on the back when you came in. That preacher knew how much money you gave. I don't know how much money you give. I could care less if you give a dime or you give a million dimes, because I ain't going to treat you any different. I can be done a lot of things, but I can't be bought. Amen. Glory to God. Ooh. Verse 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us. Can you put in the word me right there? He has reconciled me, or Marty, to himself. Watch this. Here it is. Through Christ Jesus. That's the death on the cross. Come on, the burial and resurrection. Come on. If he didn't resurrect now, he's still just somewhere dead. But he resurrected. He's alive and well today. And because of that, he can reconcile us to him. Glory to God for the guarantee to be with him forever in heaven. Woo! Man, that's good stuff. He says, he's reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. You're supposed to go do what Christ has done for you. Not that you can save anybody, but you are supposed to say, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you what he's done for me. Don't tell him my story. Tell him your story. Tell him what Jesus has done for you. You know more about your story. You're more passionate about your story than any other story. If you're not passionate about it, you might want to go back to the first part of the passage of Scripture where it says, if indeed you were saved. I paraphrased. So he's given us this ministry. Everybody's in ministry. Say, I'm in ministry. I got a ministry. I didn't know I had a ministry, but I got one now because my preacher told me my ministry. I answered your prayer. Some of you have been answering your prayer. You've been praying 40 years. What's my ministry? I just gave it to you right there. Ministry of reconciliation. Go out and win somebody to Christ. Let's try that for a church. You want a church building program? Go win somebody for Christ. Amen. Then you'll be mad at the deacons because they ain't building buildings fast enough if you just go reconcile people to Christ. Woo! Verse 19, and I'm going to hurry. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. You know why I cut my mic off, don't you? Because I didn't want to bust your eardrums. Man! let's read it again, because some of you didn't get it. I can tell by looking on your face. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing Marty's trespass into him, and was committed to us, has committed to us the word of reconciliation. That means if I get short enough blood bought, born again, get saved, my family gets everything around me saved, come on, I get saved through and through from the bone out, come on, then my trespasses are not on my account. What does that mean? When I get to the judgment seat of Christ, if I've been blood bought, born again, he says, Marty boy, you got a big old long list right here. But because Christ died for you, the one I sent, and you put your faith and trust in, the guarantee says they're not accounted to you any longer. And I'm thinking, yes, Lord, hallelujah. I don't know exactly how big heaven is, but I'm gonna make a lap or two when I get there, come on. Woo, man, this is good news. If you hadn't got any good news all this Thanksgiving, that's good news right there, amen. Oh, hallelujah. Now that we're in verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Uh-oh. Do you know what ambassador is? Do you know we have United States ambassadors over in other countries and then they have them here? What they're here, they're here on the behalf of another country. Amen? And they have, watch this. Do you know that they're not necessarily bound by the laws and stuff of this country? Some of you are going to get ahead of me. Because they're an ambassador of another country. They have immunity. The Bible says that old Marty is an ambassador of another country, of another kingdom. And come on, this fleshly world, these fleshly devices should not apply to me. Come on, somebody. That means I come in here with some immunity because I'm blood bought. I'm born again. I'm a child of the living King. And therefore, guess what? I can walk through this fire called life and not be burned. I can walk by temptation and not fall to it if I'm an ambassador to him. Come on, somebody. That means that I can go through all hell, guess what? And I'm gonna come out on the other side still an ambassador for Christ. Can I get a witness in the house? Give him praise while I close. Woo! An ambassador for Christ, praise God. Says, I'm an ambassador for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. Oh, this is going to get heavy right here in the next 5 minutes. As if God was pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Do you know that God is depending on you to spread the gospel? God is depending on you. He's put some stock in you. He's put a guarantee behind you to say, that's my child, that's my daughter, that's my son, and I guarantee they're gonna win souls. I guarantee it. I'm backing them up. I've got the kingdom of heaven's power behind me, and I'm backing them up, and they're gonna win souls. You're an ambassador for Christ. How good are you doing? How good are you doing? God is pleading through you. Come home. Come home, sinner. Come home, son. Come home, daughter. Come home. He's pleading through you and I, and if we're not doing the pleading, what's going on? Well, let me tell you, people are dying and going to hell by the thousands and thousands every minute of every day. Because the church is too scared to get out and talk about Jesus. We're afraid that we're going to offend somebody. We're afraid that somebody may answer us a question, ask a question that we cannot answer. We're afraid that we may get, somebody may get all mad at us. Well, it won't be the first time somebody's been mad at me, and I'm satisfied it won't be the last. Who cares? What we should care about is not yourself. Remember, the Bible says it's not about you anymore. Don't care about you, but you ought to care about the soul going to heaven. So quit thinking it's about you. It's not about your feelings. I'll get you a violin. You can play Woe Is Me or whatever it is you do on the little violin as you get your feelings hurt. Okay. What do we do with that? Nothing. You get up and do it tomorrow. My wife's made me mad before. Believe it or not, she's made me mad. Can you believe that? My wife, being married to my wife, 34 years, she's made me mad. Imagine that. Now, I probably never made her mad. Well, she ain't preaching, okay? And you're never going to hear it from her. She's made me mad. She's made me so mad. Mad. Come on, somebody. But I didn't quit loving her. Come on, somebody. I didn't abandon her. I stayed right there. Because it wasn't all about me. There was other things involved there. And I stood the ground and I stood firm and I said, You need to have that same thing with Christ. Make up your mind that here it is. And we just in this thing together, and whatever comes down the pipe, we just got to face this together. He's already given you a guarantee. What else do you need? It ain't going to break on you. If he does, he's going to fix it. Because he got a guarantee. Come on. Let me finish. Lord, I got 2 minutes. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become, oh, I like this, the righteousness of God in him. Somebody ought to take a lap. You thought you was just beat up, beat down, you poor old. No, in Christ you are righteous because of him. He made you righteous in him, not apart from him. Quit being that way. It ain't about you, remember? It ain't about you. I need to preach a series. It ain't about you. None of this is about you. It's about him. And he's made you righteous. Start acting like it. Start acting like you're an ambassador for Christ. He's given you a guarantee. He's given you power. He's given you authority. He's given you the words to speak if you'll read the book. Come on. Woo! Amen. This is good stuff. Boy, I could go on for a while, but you won't want it. No, I'm kidding. Three things. Let's hear them. Guarantee number one that Christians, if you're a Christian and you die, you'll be with him forever. It's a guarantee. Guaranteed. Number two, that it's a guarantee that that you're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for everything you've ever done. And then number three, there's a guarantee that anyone, no matter who you are, how long you've done it, who you've done it with, and why you did it, it don't matter, that you can be reconciled to God. Come on, man, that's good stuff right there. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise in the house. Amen. Have you learned something today? Are you going to leave here different today than when you came in? Going to be at least more excited, huh? Amen. Praise God. I tell you, the Lord laid this on my heart, and Hunter asked me, he said last night, he said, what you going to preach on? I said, the whole chapter of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I love my son-in-law. He's like, I said, I'm just going to go verse by verse. And after he left to go to work, man, how many of y'all preach this? This guy works hard, and he puts all of our stuff in here, and when I mess up, he puts it on the screen, and he's going to be mad at me after this for even acknowledging. Remember, it's not about you, okay? And I got to reading and going over my notes, and I moved back to chapter 4, and I thought, I'm next. And then I moved back to chapter 3. I read the book backwards, and I was reading it, and I thought, man, this is good stuff. I might just start in chapter 1 and preach a series for the next year or two on 2 Corinthians, on how good it is. I mean, if it's like this, wouldn't this be good? Come on, somebody. This is good stuff. Amen. I hope you've learned something today. I really do. If you'll stand with me all across this building. Lee, if you'll just come to the piano just real quick. I got so excited about just, glory to God. I hope you've gotten something out of today. I don't want you to come to church feel good. I care less if you come with a toe-ache and leave with one. That ain't what I'm about. What I want you to do is when you come to this house, that in your spirit, you have gotten refreshed. You've realized something, that maybe you were in a slump or you were in a spot in life that Christ never called you to be and never wanted you to be in that area. Come on. Some of us have got off in an old pit. Some got maybe in a rut or in a ditch, and we're just going through the motions. We're just here thinking, well, church is pretty good. Old preacher's kind of excited. I don't know where he gets that, but boy, he was excited. I wish I could get that excited. Well, you know, if you're not as excited as I am about that very thing, you know what you need? You need another encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to encounter him and let him reveal to you one more time that your sins are forgiven. Let him reveal to you one more time that there's a guarantee that you'll be with him in heaven. This is exciting news, church. This is exciting news. With every head bowed and every eye closed all across this building, thank you, Lord. Can you just begin to thank him right now? Thank him for his goodness and his mercy. Thank you, Lord. Father, I have preached your word to the best of my ability. And Lord, as I talked to you early this morning about that, you reminded me it wasn't about my ability. It was about your word going forth and the receptiveness of a heart. God, you reminded me that if I do my part, you'll always do your part. And God, I just believe here in this house today that you have done your part. I believe we have a guarantee from the Word of God that you have done your part. And you've pricked some hearts today. You've pricked some old stale spirits today. Lord, you're calling some people home. You're reconciling some people to you. I believe that today, Lord. Oh, Lord, I thank you. Come on, somebody pray. I feel the Holy Spirit in the house. Thank you, Lord. You say, Pastor, I want the guarantee that if I die, I'm going to go to heaven. I don't think I have that guarantee. I've never made a commitment to the Lord. Maybe you've made that commitment and, boy, you fell way off. You need to know that you know that you know that you're right with God. If that's you, I don't want you to stick up your hand. I want you to come to the front of the church. I want you to step out and come right to these altars. Somebody's going to be here to pray with you. I need some ladies right here real quick. Come praying right over here right now. Are there others? Are there others? We're praying for reconciliation, salvation. Are there others? Don't wait. Just come. Don't wait on me to give 9 altar calls. Just come on. If that's you and you don't know, I want you to come forward right now. We're going to pray with you. We're going to pray with you. We're going to pray. Somebody's going to meet you here. We're going to pray that sinner's prayer with you. You're going to be reconciled back to God. Is that you? Will you come? Are there others in the house? Just make your way out right now. Get that guarantee. It's waiting for you. It won't cost you anything. It won't cost you a dime. You just come right down here. He's already paid the price. Won't cost you a thing. Just come and kneel your heart in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. Humble yourself and pray and ask for forgiveness. Someone lead her in the Lord's in the sinner's prayer right here. Somebody, Kathy, somebody right here. Fonda, somebody. Lord might come back. Let's get that covered. Come on, somebody. Say, Pastor, I know I'm right with God. I know I have the guarantee. I know I have that guarantee in my heart. I've got a guarantee. But I've been kind of slacking on that ambassador thing. I've been kind of holding back on that ambassador. I really hadn't been walking in that complete authority that I know I have as an ambassador. I've kind of been bound up by some things of the world. I've been kind of struggling with some of those things over there, and I hadn't been the real ambassador. If that's you, I want you to come forward. I want you to come right now. We're going to pray with you. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter what it is. RT, will you come up to the front with me? I believe somebody's going to be coming. Is there any others? I want you to come. I want you to come. Come right here, Brother RT, and stand. Are there others? You say, Pastor, I want to do better as an ambassador. But sometimes I get scared. I get weak in my spirit. And I get fearful. If that's you, I want you to come. I want you to come to the front. Come on, are there others? Remember, it's not about you. It's not about your feelings. Not what people are thinking about you. Is that you? You need to come. Step in on the guarantee. Step in on the guarantee, because the guarantor has already showed up this morning. The one who can back up what his word says is already here. Is that you? Is that you this morning? Can you honestly say, I've been a good ambassador for the Lord? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. While you're in your seats, if you'll be praying for those that are up here. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for saving grace. We thank you, God, that you're a God of second chances and third and fourth and 50th and 100 and 1,000 times over. You're a God of seconds. Lord, when we need you, you're available. Lord, let us not get caught up in the world's devices to think that we're too far from God. Your word says, where can I go to hide from God? There's no place too high, no depth too low. No sea that's so covered by water that I can hide from you. God, let your people know, no matter where they are, they're not too far from you. To cry out to you, the guarantor of the guarantee. Oh, Father, we love you and we praise you. Can we just give the Lord a hand clap of praise today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Lord, we give you praise. Let's just praise him like your favorite team just won the ball game yesterday, whether they won or not. Amen. I know that was from the heart of some of you Hawk fans, because y'all ain't won in a while. I mean, did y'all win yesterday? I don't know. All right, church is over. Hey, I'm going to bless you before we go. I hope you've enjoyed today. Come back on Wednesday, 5:45. We're going to have a meal at 5:45. Glory to God, we're going to feed the flesh there. Pastor, thought you said it wasn't about the flesh. Well, sometimes it is, okay? At 5:45, we're going to eat, and then we're going to have regular classes this week, and I'm going to bring you a word. I don't know what it's going to be yet, but I'm going to bring you a word, and you'll enjoy it or you'll dislike it. That's what the word does to you. You'll either like it or dislike it. Amen. This depends on you. This depends on where you're at with it. That's all it really comes down to. Amen. I love you. Amen. So glad you're here. So glad I get to see every one of you again. Nobody had any deaths that I know of in this church. Thankful that I got to be back with you. Me and my wife are thankful we get to be your pastors. Amen. Me and my family are thankful we get to serve you here in the capacities that we do. We're just thankful for all of you. Amen. Thank you. You ain't got another 12, 15 years with me. Amen. Then you'll probably not want me, and then RT will take over. You won't be but 90. RT, will you? I'm on. You pray, and then I'm gonna bless us. Amen. Will you close us in prayer?
Yeah. Oh, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, you are so faithful. Jesus paid it all. Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Amen. Yes, Lord. Father, I bless the people as we leave. Lord, I pray that your face would shine upon us. I pray that we would find favor with God and man. Lord, I pray that raises and promotions and increase would come our way. Lord, in a time of turmoil, bless your people. Lord, and I pray that peace would rest and blanket every rooftop. When we lay down today, tonight, that sweet sleep would come to our soul and our flesh in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. God bless you.